Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of one of our Lent services from earlier this year. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your children. We would be so excited to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we continue our sermon series, Back to School, which will look at the book of James. James impresses upon us that our faith should be an active faith combined with an inner spiritual conviction to Jesus. We will be in James 1, verses 18 and 21 to see that the growing Christian reads God's Word. We'll look at why the growing Christian should read the Bible, God's Word, regularly. May God bless you with His joy and hope this week. Thanks for listening.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
See if there is any hurtful way in me.
And lead me in the way everlasting.
Our first hymn this evening is hymn number 188, Are You Able? Let's pray together. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward, and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace, and feed us at the table of your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture verse this evening is from Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 49. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. This evening, we continue our look at the seven statements of Jesus from the cross. This is the toughest sayings of Jesus from the cross, in my opinion. The first three deal with forgiveness for his enemies, mercy for a condemned criminal, and love for his mother. We see the statement this evening in Matthew chapter 27, and you can also see it in Mark chapter 15. And I'll be in Matthew 27 this evening if you want to open your Bibles there and hold that and follow along. But positive messages can be found in each one of the ones that we've looked at previously. But this one here, we see Jesus at his darkest moment. Literally, the land has become dark during the middle of the day. From noon till 3 o'clock, darkness has covered the land. And for these last 3 hours, Jesus has been silent for almost all 3 hours of it, but all of a sudden he cries out in the loudest of voices, not in a whisper, but with a scream. He has been left all alone. And when we hear that statement from the cross, we see, number one, the true cost of sin. By the time we get to verse 45, he has been on the cross now for almost 6 hours. He has asked forgiveness for his enemies. He has granted eternity to a criminal beside him, and he has spoken to Mary and John at the foot of the cross. But for 3 hours, he has remained silent, fulfilling the final work of God's great plan of forgiveness. We see in verse 45 the true cost of sin. Sin brings darkness. We see all this forecasted in the Old Testament. The prophet Amos writes about this day and this time. He said, in that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. We also see in Psalm 22 almost a play-by-play of the events on the cross. It says, all who seek me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of earth. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. All this was said by David hundreds of years before Jesus was on the cross. We see Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53 talking about the suffering servant. This is what he says about this day that Jesus is on the cross. Surely you took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. While growing up at Ninth Street Christian Church in Eldon, we would have a singing group called the Good Twins. A set of twin brothers come by each year. They would tell different jokes and they would tell different riddles during their concert. One of those riddles has always stuck with me. What miracle did God do that was sin? Then they would quote 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. He who made him knew no sin to be sin for us. God made Jesus actually sin for us. See, we see the awful penalty of sin in this cry from Jesus. He never cried out during any of the other torture on the crucifixion. He only cried out at the end of 3 hours of darkness as he quoted Psalm 22:1 to let us know he was still in control of his mental state. He was still focused on Scripture and fulfilling Scripture. Once sin entered this world in the Garden of Eden, a plan was already in place to take care of this sin. We see it right after the fall of man. This is what God says to the servant. He says, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The first prophecy about Jesus destroying Satan. God wasn't surprised by this falling in the garden. He was not making things up on the fly. God knew he would destroy the power of sin as well as the father of sin, the devil at the cross. The penalty for sin set by God was the shedding of blood, the shedding of innocent blood. Only the blood of God's one and only Son would be sufficient to pay this penalty. But we see a model laid in the Old Testament of this system to prepare for that time. We see in Leviticus chapter 16 about the penalty for sin on the Day of Atonement. It said when Aaron was finished with making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, they shall bring forth the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He then shall send the goat into the wilderness, and the goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it into the wilderness. See, there were two goats on the Day of Atonement. The first one was killed as a sin offering for the people. The other one, the live one, carried all the sins of the people into the wilderness, away from the people. See, Jesus did both of those things for us on the cross. He was a sin offering, and he carried all the sins into the wilderness when he was crucified. See, the Jewish Passover helped the Israelites remember the same thing, and it was the forerunner for our communion. But see, goats and lambs only roll back the sins of all people. Jesus was the final Passover lamb and the goat for the Day of Atonement. But who provided the lambs and goats for these offerings? A family would choose some of their own livestock or they could buy something at the temple. But we see here that John, the first time he sees Jesus, says, here, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then Paul writes it this way, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. See, God presented his own lamb from his own flock. God's lamb was going to be sacrificed on behalf of all mankind. Man had brought lambs each year to the high priest, another man to sacrifice for their sins, but now God has presented his only lamb on behalf of all of us. The high priest was Jesus himself. He had told everyone that he was the good shepherd and that he laid down his life for his sheep and that he picked up his life again. We now know what those words mean. God presented Christ as a sacrifice for atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. That's what Romans 3 tells us. But during those 3 hours, Jesus was treated by God as if he were sin during that whole time. Paul wrote about it this way in Galatians. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. It was during those 3 hours Jesus bore our sins. It wasn't during the 33 years of his life beforehand, and it wasn't after he died on the cross and resurrected. It was those 3 hours that your sins and my sins and the sins of everyone that has lived and will live was taken upon Christ to pay the debt that each one of us owes to God. Think of the darkest of your own sins or sins you might have read about online, seen on TV or read in the newspaper, the sins of evil dictators like Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin, serial murderers like Ted Bundy and the Golden State Killer that they just arrested last year, child molestation, physical abuse, all of those sins were put on Jesus during those 3 hours. We can't imagine the immensity of that burden. But see, God is holy. No sin is acceptable in his presence or in his kingdom. He's complete holiness. No sin. God stood at a distance and watched his son take on the sins of the world. God didn't stop loving Jesus during those 3 hours. It was his proudest moment for his son. His son took on the physical form of his creation, lived a perfect life, and endured the pain of torture, separation from God for 3 hours, and ultimately physical death so he can make us all holy and acceptable in God's eyes. Jesus experienced the darkest depths of human emotion that day. But see, Jesus is our great high priest. He took his own sacrifice in the presence of God, his holy blood that was shed for the sins of the world. Because it tells us what the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Peter said it this way, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. We now see the true cost of sin in our lives, but we also now see the supreme evidence of Christ's love for us. He was separated from God's presence. He had always been connected to his Father. He had said, I and the Father are one. When he was a young man, he had said, I must be about my Father's business. He was in constant contact with his Father. He gave that up for 3 hours to accomplish the task set before him by his Father. There's a book called Walk to Beautiful. Betty has it. I think she's given it to a friend. It's a story of Jimmy Wayne. He's a country music singer. You might look him up on the internet. We got the privilege of hearing him at my daughter Kelly's graduation from William Woods a couple years ago. It is the greatest graduation speech I have ever heard. He details his journey in this book about how he walked from Nashville, Tennessee to Phoenix, Arizona to bring awareness to foster kids aging out of the foster care system at the age of 18. He was instrumental in several states raising that foster care age from 18 to 21. But he tells his story there because he was one of those kids. He was raised in an abusive home. Until you read the book, you can't imagine how he lived. He tells of being abandoned by his mom and her boyfriend at night at a bus stop in Pensacola, Florida at the age of 13. No money, no relatives nearby. Jimmy was left on his own to find his way back home to North Carolina. He had been abandoned and forsaken by his mother. That word forsaken that Jesus cried out, it's the same word used by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where he talks about demons had deserted him or that everyone had deserted him. It's the word that God had deserted him. It's the same as being abandoned or left all alone by his friends and his co-workers in the ministry of the gospel. Jesus had been forsaken. No one to turn to. No one to relieve the pain or sympathize with. In his darkest moment, Jesus was truly alone. No one was there for him. He used the term forsaken. The darkness of evil covered him. No angels to attend to him in his hour of need. No heavenly presence there for those 3 hours. We see angels ministering to Jesus after his testing in the wilderness in Matthew 4:11. We also see an angel strengthening Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane just hours before he would be crucified on the cross, but no angels now. See, this is the cup I think that Jesus is talking about in the garden when he prays to the Father to take the cup from him. But he then says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." He could have been talking about the pain of the crucifixion and the torture, but I think he was more likely talking about the separation from his Father, the feeling of being forsaken and abandoned for the first and only time in his life. Jesus had seen the effects of sin in people around him. He had seen the sinful actions by the religious leaders. He had talked about forgiveness of sins, but he had never felt the effects of sin himself. He had been tempted by sin just as we are, but had not sinned. That's what Scripture tells us. He had not experienced the feeling of regret or guilt or failure that we feel when we sin. But now at this moment, suspended between heaven and earth, he experienced the curse and pain of sin. In the movie The Green Mile, John Coffey is a condemned murderer waiting to be executed. He has a special gift, though. He can heal people, and even a mouse, if you've seen the show. He can make sick people well. But before he dies, he has this quote about his life. He says, "I'm tired, boss. Tired of being on the road. Lonely as a sparrow in the rain. I'm tired of never having a buddy to be with, to tell me where we's going to, coming from, or why. Mostly, though," he says, "I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. I'm tired of all the pain I feel, and here in the world every day, there's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time." See, that is pain and the ugliness of sin. It's like pieces of glass in Jesus' head. That is what Jesus was feeling for the first time during those 3 hours. We see from this statement from Jesus that physical agony is one kind of pain, but spiritual agony is even worse. Jesus didn't cry out during his physical agony, but during the most intense spiritual agony, separation from his Father and the weight of sin on him caused his greatest pain. You know, it's the same with us when we have sin in our lives. The total eclipse was in August of 2017. It lasted only 2 or 3 minutes. All that buildup, the funky glasses, all the parties, for only 2 or 3 minutes. But see, when Jesus was crucified, it was totally dark for 3 hours. This just wasn't a really cloudy day or some sort of dust storm that caused the darkness. During those 3 hours of darkness, God's creation was showing the world what it looks like without the light of Jesus in the world. Since the creation came through Jesus, we now see what the absence of Jesus in this world causes: supernatural darkness. Jesus was only separated from his Father for those 3 hours on the cross that Friday afternoon. If we never claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we risk spending eternity separated from God and his Son. We see that sin causes separation from God. It causes spiritual pain as well as physical pain. Jesus knows the feeling of being abandoned with no one to turn to, but even in the midst of that darkness moment of his life, he still called on God and still called him my God. That's an example for us. He is able to sympathize with all of our weaknesses, even when we are feeling like we are all alone or that we've been abandoned or deserted or forsaken. We must have the faith to call on our God for his faithfulness. For we know that he will never abandon or forsake his children. In these words of Jesus, which are most agonizing, we see in them that we were the purpose for that cry of agony and abandonment. We experienced all that so we could stand in the presence of a holy God. Since the payment for your sins and my sins have been made, we need only to accept this free gift of forgiveness, but we do have to accept it. Yesterday, I got a letter in the mail from my eye doctor. I really didn't want to open it because I thought it might be a bill or just some type of ad to trying to get me to go in and see him since I haven't been in there for a while. But it turned out to be a $20 check. They had checked my balance and found that there was a credit balance. And they sent me a $20 check. Told me not to spend it all in one place. If I had not opened that envelope, or worse, just thrown it away because I knew what was in it, I would have not received the check inside. It's the same with God's free gift of forgiveness. We have to open that gift to receive it. If you haven't already, please accept God's free gift of grace. Don't carry around the baggage of sin any longer that has already been taken care of for you at the cross. Our hymn this evening is hymn number 183. O Sacred Head, Now Wounded.
Our special music is by our senior choir, led by Stacy Frederick. close our program with the congregation singing that great old hymn, Victory in Jesus.